Be here, you can be turning to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. This thing turned on now. All right, Philippians chapter number 2. And I thought I was going to preach what would fit with what all's been going on, but the Lord said at least quote the verse over there in Psalm 116, verse number 12. The psalmist said, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" Amen. So I thought I was going to preach on that and kept battling over there saying, "Lord, let me preach that," but feel like he'd have us to be over in Philippians chapter number 2 tonight. Philippians chapter number 2, and well, we can render praises to his name, can't we? We start naming all the benefits of being a child of God, we'd be here the rest of the night, amen. But praise the Lord, I can say I've been blessed, and I praise God for his blessings on my life. But I feel like this is where the Lord has to go, and I just want to mind him. So let's stand, if you would, Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. And we'll start reading in verse number 5. The Bible said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this church. I thank you for the dear friends that I have here, and I thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, I'm thankful tonight to be a part of the family of God. I'm glad I know what she's singing about, and I know what these hymn songs were about. And I thank you, Lord, as Brother Rutledge said, I'm not worthy of it, but I sure thank you for it. Lord, I pray that you touch me tonight, that I might be able to be a help to your people, and honor and glory to you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to preach here out of this text tonight. The Bible, Paul, after he talks about letting the mind of Christ be in you and lets us know that one day we're going to stand before him and we're going to see the Lord. Amen. I look forward to that day. But Paul says in verse number 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And Paul mentions down here in verse number 15, he said, "that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." And what I believe Paul is saying here, we're saved by the grace of God, and God has begun a good work on the inside of us. And thank God we're headed to a better land. Amen. Paul said that he, in chapter number 1, that he had a desire to depart. In fact, he said, "I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." And this has been good tonight. She sung about the earthly blessings and how good God's been to us. But Paul said he was in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? That's what's going to make heaven everything, is that we're going to be with Christ. I mean, we're going to be with each other. We're going to be with some of the men of God and the people of God who have gone on to be with Him. And we've experienced the presence of great men. I mean, in this building right here, there's been some great men that God has used. And I want to say that Christianity is not based on those men. I'm not trying to belittle those men. We ought to give them honor, but Christianity didn't die with those men. The Bible didn't die with those men. And you and I, we're to live the Christian life, not just like we did in their presence. Amen. I think about Brother Mitchell and Brother Sutton and men of God that have died and went on to be with the Lord. Seemed like the last 5 years. And when I got around some of those men, I tell you, even more seemed like the Holy Ghost when those men walked around. He said, you better be on your best behavior. And there was time we'd go to a meeting and we'd try to teach your kids to act right everywhere. But if we know we was going to a meeting where there was men of God, we'd say, listen, kids, you be on your best behavior. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? And Paul said that this church at Philippi, that when they were in his presence, they always obeyed and they always did the work of the salvation that was in their heart. But now Paul's not with them. He says them, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. And Paul says over here, in verse number 16, about the middle of that chapter, he said that they needed to hold forth the word of life. He said that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I am not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And I believe Paul's probably talking about partly about the judgment seat of Christ and how we're going to give an account of the things that we've done. I mean, those men that we know that we consider great men and God used to do great things, I mean, they're going to have to give an account. They're going to have to make an appearance before God. Hey, they're absent from the body and they're present with the Lord, and they're waiting for that time when we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may receive for that which we've done in our body. And Paul didn't want to stand there and not rejoice. Listen, the judgment seat of Christ is going to be a time of regret for all of us. But and evidently, it's going to be a time also of rejoicing. And whenever we give an account of whether our works are good or whether our works be bad. And so Paul didn't want it to be that he labored in vain. Listen, we from the you and I here in this church and the men of God that we've heard and read about and entered into their labors and read their labors that they have labored for the Lord. Wouldn't it be a sad thing for them not to be rejoiced over what they see? We're going to be able to see that evidently. I mean, I hate the tithe of things that I'm going to regret. It's a fearful thing of the things of regret that is going to be at the judgment seat. But evidently there's going to be some rejoicing around there. And these men that have went on, I hope that they can stand there in our presence in front of God and they can see where the labor that they bestowed on us, the work of faith and the labor of love that they bestowed upon our lives, that they can rejoice in seeing how that we built upon that foundation. Amen. And that ain't necessarily the message tonight. That builds upon that. But Paul, he tells them, I'm absent from you. Act like you did when I was present with you. And he said, now much more in my absence. And because some of these men have been gone, it doesn't relieve us from doing what we ought to do and standing like we ought to stand. Amen. And they ought to be an encouragement to us. Paul tells them that it's going to be a hard thing to do. And the Bible tells us that it's going to get worse and worse, and it's going to get harder and harder. That's the true Bible message about where we're headed at. Amen. And Paul says here in verse number 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. I got to look at that word midst there, and that word midst, M-I-D-S-T, it means in the middle of, it means among, but here's the word that stood out to me, Brother Rutledge. The word stood out to me. That word midst means surrounded.
That's what the word midst means. It means surrounded. And so here's what Paul is saying to the church at Philippi as he's absent from them. I don't know where he was at this time, where Paul was at. He was in jail again. Amen. I mean, probably that Philippian jailer, and maybe some of them was the reason there was a church at Philippi. But Paul's in jail again, and he's absent from them. But he says to work out your own salvation. Here's my thought tonight on what to do when you're surrounded. We are, amen. What to do when you're surrounded. That's what Paul said. He said that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We're seeing a day where we're getting surrounded on every side in America, and the circle seems to be drawing in closer and closer, and some people are jumping ship, and some people are getting out of the circle, and they're giving in, and they're giving up. But I'm telling you what, dear friend, that we've got clear instructions in the Word of God of what to do when we're surrounded. I mean, we're getting more and more surrounded by a crooked and perverse nation. And I don't study the Bible to try to change God's words, but there are sometimes I look in the Strong's Concordance and see a synonym, or it gives me another idea of what maybe that word means. But when Paul says a crooked nation, that word crooked, another word for that word crooked is warped. Boy, isn't that where we're at? I mean, we're living in a warped society. That word perverse, it means a perversion, no doubt. But one of the other definitions that Mr. Strong gave in his concordance means a perverse means distorted in reality. Distorted. So we're living in a day, a warped day. Men's minds are warped. I believe we're living in a day where there's more reprobate minds than there's ever been in this world. And we're being more and more surrounded by people whose minds are so warped, they don't know whether they're a boy or a girl, whether they're a man or a woman. They don't know what bathroom to go to. I understand you know this, and you've been hearing this for a few years. I'm telling you, we better not get used to it. We better not get at ease in Sodom. Amen. Hey, we better realize that we're surrounded, but we ought to trust God. We're in the midst of a warped time and a distorted reality. Where we're at, amen. We're living in a day where they call good evil and evil good. Well, it seems like it's fast-tracked, doesn't it? And you look around. I mean, if you really get to looking around, you'll find out that it seems like there's more for us than there are more against us than there are for us. I think about over there in 2 Kings chapter number 6. And I always get Elijah and Elisha mixed up. I can't remember whether it was Elijah or it was Elisha. But here's what was most important. It was a man of God. It was either the man of God, Elijah, or Elisha. Probably around 2 Kings, it was already Elisha. Isn't that right? But Elisha and one of his servants, the Bible tells us that the king of Syria, he went to war against the king of Israel. And he set up his camp. And he told his soldiers that I'm going to be camped here. And we're going to go against the king of Israel and cut him off at the pass. But the Bible tells us that the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, and he said, don't go that way. Don't go down there, because the king of Syria is coming that way. You ought to thank God tonight you've got such a man of God here in the house of God, and you've had men of God in this church, pastors in your past, and men of God that have come through here that have said, don't go that way. There's danger that way. You know what the Bible tells us, that the king of Israel had saved himself not once, not twice, but many different times. When he listened to the man of God, he was saved and delivered. The king of Syria, he got looking around his soldiers, and he said, which one of us is for Israel? He said, somebody around here is for Israel, because every time that we make our battle plans, he said, when we make our secret battle plans, they seem like they know what's going on. And one of them stood up and said, that there's the man of God, Elisha. He said, he knows what's going on in your bedchambers down there. And he said, he knows what's going on. You know, it wasn't because he was a man, but because he is a man of God. Amen. Ain't you glad that this book right here, our God knows the end from the beginning tonight? Amen. Ain't you glad that God knows it all? God knows what they're writing in secret. God knows what them 1,000-page bills that half of them hadn't read and who the mastermind behind it is. But I'm telling you tonight, thank God, he's not afraid. He's not fearful. He ain't biting his nails tonight. God's got it under control. Amen. The king of Syria got mad and he said, where's that man of God at? And he sent down there to where the man of God was at, and he sent chariots and horsemen, and the Bible said that those horsemen and those chariots were round about Elisha, and they was getting ready to come down on him, and the servant looked out the window, amen, and he said, alas, master, how shall we do? And Elisha said, they that be with us are more than those that be with them. Hey, I'm glad, thank God, tonight with eyes of faith I can look at what's going on in this world. I can hear what they're saying and what's stacking up against us. I can tell you tonight there's more that's with us and that's with them. Hey, God's working all things according to His will tonight. We don't have to worry about them. If they kill us, we'll go to heaven. Amen. If we suffer, Christ will be with us. If we go through the fire, He'll walk in it with us, thank God. Hey, God's able tonight. We're getting surrounded, ain't we? Getting more and more surrounded. And the Bible says that Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. The Bible said there was fiery chariots around about Elisha. Amen. There's fiery chariots round about Elisha. And thank God tonight that we there's a God we can't see. We do have ministering spirits and all of that. Our God's able to take care of us tonight. Amen. So that sounds good. This may mean more to you if the Lord don't come for too long. It's easy to walk in that door tonight without a police officer out there saying, you can't. It might come. They're wanting to do it with all this stuff that's going on, taking place in our day. We're getting more and more surrounded. Amen. You know what? Those... God didn't take His fiery chariots and His horses and destroy that army of Syria that was surrounding the man of God, but He did allow them to be blinded, and they led them into another city. And you know what they did? They fed them, and they were kind to them. I don't understand that, but that's God, ain't it? Hey, that's God. That's what God did. We got a job to do while we're surrounded in this day. And Paul says, right in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Amen. Say, what do we need to be doing? What we've always need to be doing. A lot of churches, Brother Rutledge, they're giving in and trying to find new ways and new avenues to reach this generation. I'm telling you, God's way of work. Amen. So let's just look at these verses here tonight and see what Paul says. In verse number 12, he said, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let me say tonight what to do when you're surrounded. There's a work to do. There's still work to do. Amen. There's still work to be done. We find out that there's wickedness at work all around us. But I'll tell you what, anybody that's saved by the grace of God, righteousness is at work inside of your heart. Isn't that right? I mean, you may suppress it. You may quench it. You may grieve it. You know what it'll do? It'll grieve you if you're God's child. There's a desire for righteousness and holiness in the midst of a wicked, a crooked and perverse generation. Hey, you remember when God started working in you? That's how you know he got born again. God moves in on the inside. Was it chapter number 1? Paul said, "He which hath begun a good work in you." Chapter 1, verse 6, he said to these people at Philippians, he said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Amen. How long you been saved, Brother Mitchell? 54 years. You remember he started working in you. Is he still doing it tonight? He's still working in his children. And he'll do it, thank God. He'll do it until the day of redemption. He'll work in you. He'll perform that work on the inside. I remember when God started to work in me. God will start to work in you if you're saved. This ain't, I've heard people say this right here. It's talking about working it out with God, working out your own salvation, trying to barter with God, or try to satisfy God, this or that. There ain't a thing tonight that'll satisfy the righteous demands of God. They've already been satisfied by the blood of the Lamb. He saw the travail of his soul, and he was satisfied. All that's left for us to do is make his soul an offering for sin, and God will see his seed, he'll prolong his days, and thank God we can prosper. There's a work to do. God starts a work in you. Remember that? Amen. He starts a work inside of everybody that's saved. The Bible says he's working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. We'll get to that here in just a few minutes. But he started a work in you. And you know what God does when he starts a work in you? He starts a work on you. If God's ever worked in you, he'll work on you. Isn't that right? And God works in you, and then he'll work on you. And thank God that I'm not what I used to. You've heard that saying, not what I used to be. Not what I want to be, but I'm not what I'm going to be. I mean, that's all true tonight. This generation, this warped, crooked, perverse nation needs Christians to shine as light and let the work of God that God's put on the inside come out of thee. God will work in you, on you, and through you. That's what God needs to do down at your workplace. That's what God needs to do in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We're in it, ain't we? I tell you, it's a scary day. I see some of them. I'm afraid to approach some of them in myself, to be honest with you. Amen? I mean, rings here and rings here and tattoos all over their body. God ain't pleased with that. Hey, I hope you have a whole house full of them on Sunday morning and preach the gospel to them. Hope they get born again and God will start a work in them. And thank God tonight. But listen, I can't get comfortable in this whole world. But there's a work that God started in me and he's doing on me and that he wants to do through me and you tonight. Hey, it's a personal work. He said, work out your own salvation. Now tonight, there's nobody here that has a different salvation than anybody else. You may have a different story, but it's really the same story. But he said, work out your own salvation. I'm glad tonight that I personally got born again at that night at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's my own salvation. Amen. You know what that tells me also? I'm responsible for what I do with my own salvation. That God saved me. The Bible said, what know you not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Amen. It's a personal work. We're going to give it a personal account for it. What I'm trying to say tonight is, anybody else sometime you just throw up your hand, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Just do what we're supposed to be doing. What this world needs more than a Republican president is a bunch of Christians who are letting God that's working in them and on them work through them. Amen. And God, Ephesians 2 said that we're saved by grace through faith and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But it said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Boy, they ought to see God's workmanship. In other words, that is God's craftsmanship. Amen. It's amazing what the grace of God's done probably in some lives sitting here tonight. Over there in the book of Acts, was it chapter number 11 and 7, when Barnabas and Saul came and they saw the grace of God. I can't see all the grace of God that's happened in your life. You know, something God told me to do, and I don't guess I've still done it. Maybe I've done it a few times. But what might help you tonight, everybody sitting here, you might not always wore the clothes you're wearing. You may not always have done the things you're doing. I tell you, a good mark if you hadn't thrown them away. There may be some pictures. Everybody got photo albums, maybe an old box with pictures in there. It might do good to just get alone somewhere and get those pictures and find one as far back as you can find. I mean, maybe find your baby picture there and get thinking about how that God allowed you to be born and God allowed you to draw your first breath. And maybe you can go a little longer and you can see how God allowed you to live as a 10-year-old. I'm just throwing out things and you can go on down through there. I mean, I'm not happy about some of the pictures that my mama kept that my children have seen. I've had to hide a few of them. But you know what? While I was hiding it, I looked at that and I thought, thank you, God. Then I get to another picture. Does this make any sense tonight? Then I get to another picture and I lay that down. I mean, maybe not. That's what we need to do. Just put them pictures down and go through the years and see how God changed your life and made a difference. I understand them pictures don't talk and all of that, but I'm telling you what, it'll talk to you. Amen. There's been a few pictures my kids seen. They said, Daddy, you taught us not to do that. You know what I've said? I said, well, let me tell you about the grace of God. Amen. Where would that go with you tonight? I'm glad it's a personal salvation. It's a personal work. It's a fearful. It ought to be a fearful. He said it, for it is God which worketh in you. Or it says, work out your own salvation. It's personal with fear and trembling. You know, I believe one of the reasons that our society don't fear God, God's people don't really fear God. We've lost the fear of God in our homes. I'm talking about Christians. We've lost the fear of God in our churches. Amen. Y'all got quiet on that. Y'all all right tonight? We've lost the fear of God. I want to fear God more. I want to have a holy reverence for God. It's one thing to talk about the world and what they're doing. I tell you what, the fear of the judgment begins at the house of God. And I found out if you'll fear God, and I'm nobody tonight. I played college baseball and I tried to have a good testimony and I wouldn't go with them to their parties and I'd just stay at the house, at the apartment, wouldn't go with them and they'd mock sometime, call me preacher boy, but son, and I'm nobody tonight, but there's times whenever I was a closer, so I sat on the bench till the end of the game, amen. I'd sat on the bench till the end of the game and sometimes they'd come over there next to me, they'd kind of look around and they'd ask me questions about life and death and all of that. Hey, I'm glad that they saw some kind of fear of God in my life. Amen. That's what this world needs. It's a personal work. It ought to be a fearful work. When's the last time you came in fear and trembling before Almighty God and saying, God, I messed up? Amen. It's a spiritual work. He said, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Hey, God is a spirit. The Father and the Son made their abode inside of my heart by the person of the Spirit of God tonight. All these phony baloney. You know why all the phony baloneys are being believed? In our day and hour, these charismatics, these false prophets are being believed, going around crying, I'm speaking in tongues and the Holy Ghost. Had a fellow tell me the other night, coming home last Sunday night, I stopped to get something to eat and had a suit on. This guy come up telling me he was doing miracles in the streets of Nashville, and the lady that was there with him, she said, oh, I saw him raise somebody from the dead in the streets of Nashville and all of that. I said, well, I said, I don't believe all that stuff's going on. I said, I believe God God's able to heal. I said, but I'll tell you what the greatest message is, that Christ came into the world to save sinners. I said, how can you preach that? He said, I'll get around to it sometime. What he said? Amen. And I tell you what part of the reason that is tonight is we ain't really taking it on ourselves as a personal work. Oh, it's the work of the church. It's the work of the preacher. Listen, lay people here tonight. Why do they call people? I don't know. Lay around. This is not preacher and missionary religion. Amen. This is the ministry that God's given unto the saints. And what we need is God's people to do the work God's called them to do. Everybody else seeing this warped and distorted reality of our day? You seeing the darkness prevailing, it looks like. You know how darkness will not prevail when you shine light. Amen. I'm getting ahead of myself on the points, but God said what He wants to. Amen. So you'll find out God can do a work. Galatians 5 talks about the works of the flesh. And it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Boy, we ought to be doing a work of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Amen. And you'll find out here in this text, Paul is saying what to do when you're surrounded. There's a work to do. Not only that, there's a will to display. Amen. He said, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I sure am glad it was God's will to save me, aren't you? I'm glad He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm glad God's, James said in James 1:18, of His own will begot He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So how can you be in His will, do His word? It's that simple, isn't it? You can know His will by reading His word. You can do His will by living His word. That's what we need. I mean, they're going to everything else, but it's pretty simple in here. Ain't it? What to do in your surrounding. There's a work to do. There's a will to display. You know this verse, and we just let it go in one ear and out the other because it's a Baptist anthem. It's a Bible-believing anthem, but it's still the Word of God. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. I worry about some people who say they're saved, but they're with this warped crowd. They're with this perverted crowd. They just don't seem to see the same reality that I see. Y'all know those people that call themselves Christians that are like that? I wonder about them, don't you? I wonder about these people who can watch a soap opera on the television and sit there and not realize that there's two actors on there. You know that they may be actors, but you know what? They are fornicators and whoremongers. You know why there's men on television kissing men? Because years ago, there was two people who weren't married and possibly married to somebody else outside of their movie star career, committing fornication right in front of people's eyes. Y'all all right tonight? That's distorted reality. That's crooked in the eyes of God. We can sit and soak it up in this day and watch the trash and the field and look at this crooked and perverse nation and not go the will of God. Amen. He said there, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hey, Paul knew who he was writing to. He said, tell that crowd, very next verse, not to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think. I believe one of the reasons that the world's got such a high view of themselves because they don't see us with a low view of ourselves and a high view of God. Amen. And I, what I'm doing tonight, I heard a preacher. I was riding in the car with a bunch of preachers and the camp meeting. And I don't know if he'd heard me preach somewhere before. I don't know. But he said, I'm getting tired of these preachers that stand up and blame God's people for sodomy and blame God's people. I understand it ain't all of God's fault or all of God's people's fault. Amen. I tell you what, there's as much fornication in our Baptist homes from what I'm seeing running hot on the television. I don't know why I got bogged down here, but anyway, I'm talking about a crooked and perverse nation. And what we're to do, we're getting surrounded by it. More and more, it's closing in. There's a work to do. There's a will to display. Amen. So, to the best of my ability, my personal life ought to be a display of God's will. I'm not talking about tooting your own horn or better than thou. That ain't never been a God. Amen. We ain't better than nobody else. Or one preacher say, I'm not better, I'm just better off. I am tonight. I thank God. I tell you, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be in the same shape of all of my family on my side of the family. You know what I want to do, Brother Rutledge? I'm hoping they'll get born again. But I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to do the work of God. I want the will of God to be displayed in my life. Personally, I want my home to be a display of God's will. I mean, if we fuss and fight about two men marrying each other and we can't get along in our home. Husbands can't love their wives. Wives can't submit to their own husbands. And children won't obey their parents and not taught to obey their parents. What are we saying about the world tonight? They're crooked and perverse. I know what I was saying. That preacher said, I'm tired of them saying that. I don't want to put undue things on God's people, but I'm telling you tonight, a lot of it's because what we've let creep in. What we don't stand against anymore. Amen. So there's a will to display. I mean, this church, there's a will for this church. There's a personal will for your life. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 4, for this is the will of God. I hear people say, well, I just knew what to do for God, I'd do it. There's enough plain in the Word of God to let you know what God's will. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When's the last time you stood up in this church and gave thanks? Probably a lot of times. Some did tonight. And if you have been, praise the Lord. Maybe you haven't tonight. When's the last time you thanked God there around the supper table? That prayer wasn't just some repeated prayer. Anybody else guilty like me of just sitting down to eat and you're tired and wore out? Lord, thank you for the food. I'm not saying don't stop doing that, but slow down sometimes. Amen. I remember one of my brothers. I had three half-brothers. One of my brothers committed suicide. First funeral I ever preached. I won't go into that story, but my dad and all of them, they'd take his money and they took money from my sisters and they'd buy their marijuana that should not be legal. Just so you can rub some salve on your hand. Amen. But one of my brothers come and called me up wanted to come to church with us, and we took him home with us, Brother Rutledge. And he wasn't used to sitting at a table. I don't even know if they had a table in their home. They all just sat around the television watching filth and everything else. And they didn't know what it was like. You know what your home needs? A table to sit down at. Look across the table at each other. Be good just to say, I thank God for His grace. I thank God for you. I thank God for our home. Everything give thanks. But my brother sat across that table and I got to noticing he was sitting at the table and we all sat down. He was just going. That's simple, isn't it? Table is a place of communion with God. In the Bible, it's a communion with each other. Amen. I don't know why I'm saying this tonight, other than it's what God put on my heart. But I'm telling you, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There's plenty in the Bible that we could get busy in that just simply says, this is the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4 said, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. The Bible says, even your sanctification. And he said that you abstain from fornication. It says that every man may know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. I tell you, the greatest reason we ought to live right to honor our God. The greatest reason we ought to separate ourselves from the world and our flesh and our will is because there's a God who saved us. There's a God who deserves honor tonight. They're cussing His name, mocking His name, denying His existence. Hey, don't let it be because that they couldn't see God in you. Amen. There's a will to display. He said, not in concupiscence. That's a big word, isn't it? That means unlawful desire or carnal worldly things. And Brother Rutledge, I don't come to church to try to pick out everything in a church and say something about it, so I don't think I do. I know God's men are going to do God's will, and they're going to do it with long-suffering and doctrine and teach them. I went and preached for a fellow I'd never preached for before and up in Ohio, and a little different up there. I say pulpit, and they say pulpit. You know, I guess they're the same thing. Amen. But this man here, we went out to eat, and this young lady come by, and I don't believe y'all to just. I mean, if they got those rings and tattoos and all, y'all just point out everything wrong with them. God can change them. I mean, y'all see what I'm talking about? But she walked up, and he said, he didn't say nice tat, but he said, tell me the story behind your tat. Well, first of all, tat is kind of making it sound acceptable. Y'all see what I'm talking about? I guarantee you, although Jesus sat with drunkards and Jesus sat with people of ill repute, sinners. He said He eats with sinners. I guarantee you He didn't say, tell me about your latest drunk party. Tell me how cool you're. Y'all see what I'm talking about? We don't have to be self-righteous, better than thou's, but we ought to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what we need to do when we're surrounded. There's a work to do. There's a will to display. Amen. Paul said, because we're surrounded. There's a work to do. There's a will to display. And he said, there's a world in darkness. I thank God that God shined the light in my heart. I don't ever want to look at a sinner, Brother Rutledge, no matter how far I think he's gone. Amen. And thank God can't shine the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ in his heart. But you know how God does that? The Bible said you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light. Walk as children of light. Amen. So he says here in verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. You don't know how to put your light out. Be a complainer, a murmurer. I hear too much of that myself. I'll just admit that tonight. But I hear too much of God's people just murmuring, complaining. Boy, that'll distinguish the light. Amen. He said that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Amen. We're to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Isn't that what Jesus said? So 2 Corinthians 4, and I'm about done. 2 Corinthians 4, it says, wherefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, or lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hey, that same God worketh in us, that said, let there be light. For God, that commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The Bible said we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. You letting the world see your treasure? Are you a treasure? Amen. There's a world in darkness. Some are in darkness. Some have just enough light to keep them in darkness. More and more I go by these worship centers. I've got people. I saw my nephew went to a parade the other night. I saw my nephew coming through the parade with Compassion Church. A Compassion Church. Now I know people who are in that church, door greeters, shacked up. I know them personally. Over the youth department, there's a man in that church, and I don't. He's probably still lost. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to apologize about what sin is. But I saw him out, knew him from my childhood. I don't know if I told this story here or not before, but anyway. I was talking to him and asked him how things are going. He said, I got 12 kids. Or no, I invited him to church. We were starting a church down there, and I said, you ought to come to church in the morning. You know, a church planter hears 12 kids, he's thinking. But I wasn't worried about a house full. I mean, you know how they're going to hear it? They're going when they come or we go. So I said, won't you bring the wife and kids? He said, oh, we're not married. Well, he did say we're, what do they call that, legally married. You ain't legally married in the sight of God till you've been married. Amen. Amen. With God putting it together. He said, oh, we're the youth leaders down here at Compassion Church. I saw my nephew who needs God. And my ex-brother-in-law who needs God. And they're going down to the Compassion Church. Hearing rock and roll gospel and live any old way you want to. Saying there's liberty in God's grace. God's grace reigns through righteousness. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. I got to get done tonight. There's a world in darkness. Let me say the last thing. I did say that. There's some that have just enough light to keep them in darkness. You got some family members that you really wonder if they're saved. If God give you liberty, you ought to go up and give them the light of the Word of God. So you know why we don't practice that? Why we don't do that? Can I show you in the Bible? Amen. That's the last thing. There's a word to direct us. Look at verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, surrounded by them. Amen. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. If I understand it right, would holding forth mean putting it out there in front of you? Amen? Before there was GPS, they used to have a compass. If you knew you needed to go north, you'd put that out there. And when that, you'd hold it out in front of you. Didn't hold it behind you. You didn't look at it in the dark. Right? Holding forth the word of life. The Bible says over there, Peter said, we've not followed cunningly devised fables. Said, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Yeah, He said over there, he said, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He said that, I'm trying to get the right part of that verse, but he said over there, we need to take heed as unto a light that shineth in darkness until the day dawn, the day star rise in your hearts, knowing that there's no prophecy of the Scripture, any private interpretation. We got the Word of God. You know what I'm to do, Brother Rutledge? I want to keep this book before me. Say, God, direct me. I want to hold it fast. Amen? Then I want to look at my wife and my children and say, hey, get behind me. Get behind me. I'm going to get behind God. I'm going to get behind His Word. And listen, there's warped society. It's crooked. It's perverse. There's distorted reality. We better tell our children. I mean, they're not trying to hide themselves. We better have a Bible answer. So we're just going to let this direct us. Amen? This is going to say where we go. Amen? I'm not a pastor anymore, but I tell you what you need to do, Brother Rutledge. You need to say, church, get behind me. Back me up. If he's taking this book and trying to follow this book, get behind him. There's a crooked and perverse nation. Amen? I'm not saying this to belittle what any men that's come before us has ever went through, but I dare say all the men that I mentioned at the beginning of this and every one that any of you have ever known never, ever faced sodomy like we're facing. In fact, I've had some of them tell me that. I'm not belittling those men. But I've had some of them pull me to the side and say, hey, I can see something on the horizon that I never had to deal with.
That's exactly right. Amen.
Better pray for him.
Amen.
Amen. You better know what to do when you're surrounded.
Right.
Amen. Amen. I tell you, my flesh wants to get scared. When I start reading the Bible, I get fired up. What about you?
Amen.
What are you doing? There's a work to do. There's a will to display.
Lord,
work on him. Amen. Find out what God's will is and get in the will of God. Is that simple enough tonight? Amen. This world's in darkness. It's getting darker. There's a word. There's a word to guide us. Thank God to direct our lives. I'm glad for this Bible tonight. Aren't you? Let's stand tonight if you would. Don't know what the Lord said to you, but that's what He said to me to say to you tonight.